case this morning is United States against Rinaldi.
Comes to you after the appellant filed a motion to withdraw his plea of guilty based in part on a mental problem that would prevent him from formulating the necessary criminal intent to commit the crime to which he had pled guilty.
I understand your original state of feeling was that he was unaware of the crime itself, the way it was said, bundling is supposed that he was misled by the prosecution.
Yes, Your Honor.
And as a result of being misled, he pled guilty to a crime that he says he's not guilty of.
Both of those issues were raised from the beginning in the initial motion to withdraw the plea, the bundling and the mental health.
If he had stuck with that one, you wouldn't have the problem that we're facing now, right? When you add in that he had suddenly discovered that what is the specific diagnosis?
I don't know if it's AADD or ADD.
Yeah, adult attention disorder.
Right.
There are members of the court, not this court, of course, the members of some courts that suffer from the same thing. But if you stay away from that, it's not a defense, as I understand it, to any criminal action, is it?
Yes, we cited the Ruskin case. It is a defense, and it isn't an add-on. When we filed our motion to withdraw the plea, we had two grounds, one the bundling and one the mental health. The court denied the motion out of hand. I filed a motion to reconsider, and apparently it caused the court to realize what we were trying to plead in the first instance, because we didn't change anything in the motion to reconsider. I just brought back to his attention things that I knew and felt were important. The court then, without more, ordered a mental examination in custody, and that's what brings us to this court.
Now, you never asked for a mental examination?
No.
This was just the judge's idea?
Right. The government cites to a record where they said they had requested that, and I haven't seen that, but they may have at some point, according to the brief.
Now, is your position here that there should be no examination at all, or is your position that it should be an outpatient examination, or just that we don't know enough about why the district court chose inpatient versus outpatient?
Your Honor, I think you've said exactly what I'm trying to bring to this court's attention. First of all, the court, in ordering the examination, did not hold a hearing, and so we don't know what the basis was for the court's determining.
Would you have complained if you had simply ordered your client to go to, or your client to go to a particular doctor for psychiatric evaluation?
No, we think this court, in maybe as far back as 86, said that in the instance where you're complaining that you have a mental defect that prevents you from formulating criminal intent, a mental examination is permitted. We agree with that.
Did you suggest that to the court?
Well, I didn't have that opportunity because the court on
was
my motion...
You filed numerous motions. You have plenty of opportunity to make suggestions to the court.
Well, I filed a motion to reconsider the order that denied our...
Well, I said that just suggests that we are perfectly available to having my client appear before some psychiatrist of
yours. No, I didn't, Your Honor.
Okay.
But I didn't anticipate that there was just simply going to be an order that was issued. I thought the court would likely follow Gomez Orozco, and if the court was going to act on the motion to withdraw the plea, the court would have selected one of the three options, which would be to deny, grant, or order a hearing.
Would you have any problem? Would there be any legal problem if the district court said, I'm going to deny this motion unless your client consents to have a mental examination?
We would consent without that threat, just not in custody.
Well, the judge says, I'm going to deny the motion unless you consent to an exam in 45 days of custody.
Well, I said, that's what I...
Statement?
That's what I think allows us to come to this court on the interlocutory appeal to ask you to find that that in-custody evaluation should not be ordered unless there can be a compelling government interest.
Counsel, my question was not that anything was ordered. It's a condition imposed, right? The court says, I'm going to deny your motion unless you consent to. And at that point, the defendant has a choice. Motion will be denied or defendant can consent. Any problem?
Yeah, I don't think I'd like that.
Look, my question is not what you would like.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you could answer my question, strawberry ice cream.
All right.
Right? The question is there any legal problem?
Yes.
Okay, what's the problem?
Gomez Orozco requires, if I file a motion to withdraw a plea of guilty, that the court has three options. The court can deny the motion. The court can, finding that it
exactly.
is incredible.
The court says, I'm going to deny the motion unless you agree to the following thing. That's... Right.
But there are two other options. And the third option isn't the one you've presented to me. There isn't a fourth option that you've presented to me. The three options are granted, denied, or order a hearing.
But then it seems to me that we know perfectly well what would happen in this case. The only word is denied.
Well, I don't think so at all.
I don't see how your client can be made better off by a legal rule that would compel the judge under these circumstances to deny the motion, or even one that would induce the judge to deny the motion.
Well, Your Honor, the court below has to do that and not abuse its discretion. I think that
the judge denies the motion, the sentence is imposed, your client goes to prison, and then you can appeal and say the judge should have granted the motion. Right. The argument you're making now is one that will induce judges in the future to follow that course. And your client or other people like him will in the future end up spending their time in prison pending the appeal from the sentence imposed. And I'm wondering how that makes either your client or defendants as a whole better off.
Well, that sounds terrible, but I'm not sure that that is the logical course. I mean, the court can order the examination out of custody.
No, you've already told us the court can't order the examination. That's your whole argument.
No, the court
can't order it. And in response to my question, you've said the court can't even invite the defendant to consent to it.
Then I misspoke. The court can order the mental evaluation. The question is in custody or out of custody. So if I misspoke, I apologize. But that is our position. The court certainly has the authority to order a mental evaluation. Under the cases in this court that go back to 86, the issue then is whether that evaluation has to be in custody or out of custody.
I understand why your client doesn't want it to be in custody, but I can understand your argument about the conditions. But in fact, people are entitled to check themselves into mental hospitals. Voluntarily. Many people do so. Now, there are provisions for involuntary commitment as well. But if you follow the idea that you can check yourself into a mental facility voluntarily, then why would agreeing to do so? We're using the word custody to cover a variety of bases here. We're not talking about saying he's going to Marion. We're saying he's going to a facility capable of conducting the mental evaluation. You don't just leave mental hospitals without some process. So you could possibly do that, couldn't you, if he's got his wits about him and is competent to make such decisions?
Oh, absolutely. I think, again, the only complaint we have is whether or not this evaluation needs to be done in the Bureau of Prison. If an inpatient at a private hospital, if that's what was required, fine. But I do think that before we get to that point, the court needs to have a hearing or make some decision. There needs to be some decision making on whether or not the mental evaluation in custody or at the Bureau of Prisons is required.
What was the implicit finding, though, that the judge made that the evidence that you had presented thus far of mental disability was not enough to justify withdrawing the guilty plea? You did have the one doctor's report, and he wouldn't have even bothered to go through all this if he was satisfied that this showed that there was a fair and just reason to withdraw the plea.
Could well be correct,
Your Honor. He's saying the record's not, well, he did, he clearly. We know anything from this order, we know he didn't think that was
didn't grant the motion, that's correct.
In fact, he denied it. He denied it outright. This is on the motion for reconsideration.
And that he did then order the inpatient evaluation.
It's kind of, it's in the nature of a second chance to your client after the motion has been denied. And that, of course, is what led to my exchange with you. When your client says, fie on the second chance, it seems that the thing that happens next is that motion to reconsider is likewise denied. And there we are.
Well, I would hope that the court would see that we have raised a legitimate claim and that the mental evaluation could be done out of custody, and it would be quite appropriate to do that. And I, that would be my my suggestion to the court. My time is up.
Thank you, Mr. Dawson.
Thank you.
Mr. Henson.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I please the court?
Mr. Dawson.
I think this court has hit the nail on the head as far as Judge Mills' position regarding the case. We quoted in our brief a line from Judge Mills in the order originally denying the motion for withdrawal of plea, saying that the court cannot allow the defendant to withdraw his plea because he has concocted, after a year of plotting and planning, defenses to the crimes charged. That's the position, that's the context of Sergius Rinaldi in the district court.
Judge Bell and I at least remember Dr. Rinaldi from his prior appearance here. And
you have had experience with him.
Judge Brooks does too.
This is round two.
But however, the issue is a narrow one. Did Judge Mills do what he needed to do to justify an in-custody examination? We have no idea why he thought in custody was necessary. He doesn't give us a clue. He relies on a statute that has nothing to do with this kind of problem. He doesn't talk about 12.2b. He doesn't say, I don't think Dr. Rinaldi is the type of person who one more examination by an outside. I mean, there's just nothing to go on. And it seems to me, even if you take 12.2b as authorization for this more broadly ranging kind of mental examination, which is already reading a bit into it, how do we know? For all I know, when maybe Judge Mills would have been amenable to a private hospital or to an outpatient. There's just nothing.
I respectfully disagree with your conclusion that we have nothing to go on. I believe the line I just read from Judge Mills' original order denying the motion.
But then and he reconsiders. I'm looking at his motion to reconsider, and, you know, we all have it in front of us. We don't need to have it read to us.
Sure.
He decides to take an extra step. He basically decides to give Dr. Rinaldi a chance to make a better record. And what I don't know is whether he would perhaps have been amenable to a different kind of chance. We just have no insight.
Can the defendant have the opportunity to ask for that in his motion to reconsider?
The motion to reconsider the reconsideration order is what you're saying.
You have a motion to reconsider, yes, in the reconsideration.
No,
a motion to modify,
be
I believe.
A motion to modify the reconsideration
right,
order.
In which the defendant simply said, you can't do this. They didn't say, you don't have the record to do this, we can put on evidence. In fact, the only evidence the defendant put on was after the appeal was filed and then tried to slip a letter into the record on this case. There is nothing before the district court, and that we're sitting at a table set by the defendant, essentially. He had that opportunity to ask for a hearing.
But how many reconsiderations do people have to file? I mean, he has, in fact, gotten a ruling on the motion for reconsideration, and a ruling that has custodial implications. He's been out, now he'd have to be in custody for some period of time. We don't even require people to file Rule 59 motions. A lot of people do, but you're allowed to take an appeal if you want to just go ahead and take your appeal.
I don't believe we have a ruling on the motion for reconsideration. I think that's still out there to reconsider the motion withdrawal or to withdraw the plea. And Judge Mills has plainly said, this isn't enough. I don't trust you, Sergius Rinaldi. And anybody can go into a psychiatrist for 45 minutes and claim they have AADD. This is the test. this is Dorma thurgeus monalvia life preserver, and these Dorma facts saying I don't like the color of it.
So you think judges, kind of at the drop of a hat during pretrial proceedings, can just decide to put somebody in custody somewhere?
This is not a pretrial proceeding, though.
Well, it's between the guilty plea. It's not the end of the proceeding either, because there's been no sentencing. There's a pending motion to withdraw the guilty plea. So it's an in medias res situation. It seems to me custody is a big thing, right? Custody is an important change in somebody's condition, and perhaps district courts have to have reasons for putting people in custody, no matter whether it's pretrial, after the taking of a guilty plea, but before sentencing, upon a motion to reconsider, you name it.
And I think absolutely, based on the record of this case, based on your experience with Sergius Rinaldi, based on the district court's experience with Sergius Rinaldi, he has the ability to judge. He has the ability to gauge the fact that this man can't be trusted.
Trust him. I don't know what Judge Mill, just know the very responsible judge. He might have considered alternatives, but he just seems to have assumed that you just put people in custody.
I don't believe that's the case either. I think what the judge has done is looked at Rule 12.2, the most closely analogous rule that we have, and followed the suggestions of that rule and made a determination as to be what would be best for him to decide this motion to withdraw.
And then he popped over to 4241, which is about people who are supposedly not competent to stand trial, which implies that maybe they're not competent right now, and thus in custody fine.
He's referring us to 4241 et sec. And so he's referring to that section that deals with, okay, how are these examinations to be done? And in that, I believe it's 4243, I'm not positive on the citation, there is a provision that allows an in-custody evaluation at the district court's discretion. And if we agree, as I believe the defendant is...
Which statute are you referring to now in particular?
Let me find it.
There are some that allow hearing at the district court's discretion dealing with sanity at the time of trial.
Right.
That doesn't appear to be the nature of this defense, of this argument.
Right. What I'm
suggesting... It has to do with not being able to form the mental state to commit the offense.
What I am suggesting is that the Rule 12.2 and the Advisory Committee suggest we look at these sections, 4241 et sec, as an advisory, if you will, as a guide to the court in what to do in the mental defects type defense, which is very close to insanity. And specifically, the one I'm suggesting is when you get to 18 U.S.C. 4247b, when we're dealing with psychological or psychiatric examinations, it provides that for the purposes of an examination pursuant to an order under Section 4241, 44, or 45, the court may commit the person.
But do we know that Judge Mills exercised his discretion? It doesn't say must in all instances commit the person. It just says may order the examination. Whether the person is in custody or not is really quite open.
It is indeed, but the court has to have that discretion if we agree that Rule 12.2 applies.
And I think Judge Mills has it, except I don't know if Judge Mills was thinking about the fact that he had it and whether this had to be in custody or not.
Again, I must disagree. On the four corners of this case, it's hard to say that the judge looked at all the other alternatives. But Judge Mills has been on the bench a long time. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
I don't suppose the government suggested the alternate possibility to him.
The government suggested even if he is found to have this AADD, it still doesn't get to the level of withdrawing his plea. If this will answer your question, if indeed the court had set the matter for a hearing rather than ordered this evaluation, the first thing I'd have done, of course, we still ask for this evaluation because the history suggests that this is another one of the games that Sergius Rinaldi's playing. So, I think if you put this defendant in this case in context and look at what the district court did in denying the motion and then reconsidering it and essentially throwing him a life preserver, you can see that the bottom line is, without this, the judge just isn't going to trust an evaluation for Sergius Rinaldi.
But of course, it doesn't, the order the district court actually entered doesn't give Rinaldi the opportunity of saying, given the choice between denying my motion and spending 45 days having my head peered into in custody, give me the former. That's correct. Not an option the district court gave him.
It is not. It is not. Nor did the defendant withdraw his motion at being murdered, which is an option that the defendant has with or without the district court saying so.
Withdrawing the motion doesn't do anything at that stage. There's a judicial order that this man be taken into custody and held for 45 days.
Well, I believe if I filed a motion to withdraw that and moot the order, I think that would procedurally take care of things, or could procedurally.
The suggestion that you can avoid a custody order by filing a paper in the district court is not true. It's not how this process works. It's not, I withdraw the motion, the order goes...
It isn't necessarily true, but it can very well be if you try. But that wasn't even tried in there.
Oh, it could have been worked out, I'm sure, but it wasn't.
It could have been worked out. One other issue that's out there,
nope.
We raised the procedural issue.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow.